This could be an opening. The man then wants to have the opening. It's Norman Shetland. That is the moment. The moment of madness.
Morgan, everyone. Welcome back to Hearts and Sleeves podcast, a podcast all about Heart of Midlothian Football Club, its fans, and all the ups and downs you experience on the way, both on and off the pitch. Before we start, I thought you might like to listen to this.
Kyoto. On his left foot, whipped in the box, not a bad ball. Chance to the back post.
Yes! Yes! Oh, yes! Oh, yes, Greg Halkett! Kyoto whips it into the back post. And there was Greg Halkett!
Last week we were talking about sort of the best Tynecastle derby moments. Where would you say that one rated for you, John?
I was saying it to Adam after, actually. I was saying that probably the only one that comes close for me was when they came for like the relegation party. And then Billy Singh scored the second one, and it was kind of like that feeling of relief almost. It was like, that's it done. Yeah. But yeah, I don't think I've celebrated the goal that much at Tynecastle for a long time.
What happened when it went in?
Somehow I ended up on the other seat where Adam had been to begin with, so I'm not really sure how I ended up there, but absolute mayhem. Like, I was like flying, people flying everywhere.
Where I was, so I was in the Wheatfield sort of section, G kind of area, and you know, I had to get a single ticket by myself, and I was just with random people who became my best friends. From people I didn't speak to in the 90th minute to my best friends in the 93rd minute, I think would be the best way to put it. Thankfully, didn't get any injuries. I heard Adam had someone land on him pretty much.
Yeah, nearly flattened him.
Was that person you?
Nah, I turned around and there's a guy on the floor in between us. I was like, how's this happened?
Yeah, so I put up on our socials, have you ever injured yourself during a Heart celebration? Hippo of Midlothian said, I'm bruised from Saturday. I cracked a rib at Easter Road once in a goal celebration. Tore my calf muscle at Hampden because of a certain penalty against Celtic. I could go on. Someone else, Harry, said, I know someone who broke their leg by accidentally stepping down the front of a seat and snapping it, in brackets, their leg. That's like Whoa. Proper worst nightmare territory for me, to be honest. And they said, horrible stuff, at least 6 months out. It's been about 10 years, so he's fine. That sounds proper agony, that one. Other ones, Jamie Jambo, like that name, said, I missed a wedding the evening of a semi-final in 2022 when we beat Hibs 2-1. Fucked my ankle, and the first goal celebrations was throbbing by the time we scored the second. I was certainly throbbing by the time we scored the second, but that's something quite different. Ice Cream Headache said, broke a metatarsal celebrating Kyle Lafferty's opener versus Hibs in May 2018. Didn't realise until the day after. And then Angela Ballantyne said, cut my eye, headbutting a seat, celebrating that Hosey Katongo goal against Celtic. So good injuries all round. Trunter, have you ever injured yourself mid-celebration? And did you, were you watching the game? Where about were you watching the game actually on Saturday?
I was watching the game at home. I ended up paying, I couldn't find a reliable dodgy stream. So I just paid for Premier Sports because it was, I knew it'd be worth it. But just when we were chatting as well about, I know it's not a tiny, but that, I always bring up the Ozturk goal against Hibs when he hit it from 35 yards out. And it ties in with the injury thing because I remember we were with company at that time watching that at your house and the company were not Jambos. So it was when that went in, it was the absolute joy. Like, I remember, do you remember we both like sort of jumped up and stared at each other? We weren't sure what to do. And then we just absolutely lost it. But I remember like, I remember proper like just like jarring kind of my ribs and then like seeing our eyes just like sort of bulging. And then we're just like, yes! But I can like genuinely viscerally remember the sort of weird pain from that jump up at your house. That was
it's quite
weird
impressive
one,
but... injuring yourself while sitting on a sofa or standing up from a sofa.
And I think it was the moment of trying to hold it in a little bit so that we weren't, you know, really getting it, you know, right in your faces. But it was like trying to be diplomatic, and that kind of that hurt.
So just to clarify, that was our at times ex-girlfriend, well, at times girlfriends, who were Hybe supporters. Is that right?
Yeah.
I mean, considering what happened afterwards with both of them, I think the least we should have done was get right in their faces, to be honest. So
absolutely.
I regret not celebrating that goal even more than we did. But to be honest, the fact you pretty much put out a rib, I actually celebrated quite a lot. So fair enough. Adam, you survived your injury on a Saturday then. No broken bones, just someone landing on top of you.
Yeah, some guy in the row behind somehow ended up jumping down on top of me twice. Luckily, there was a guy's back in front of me. There was a cushion to stop me falling down. But it was, I think that was the craziest celebration I've seen maybe since the Burley era, or Romanov era at least, for a home game, I would say.
Yeah, so John was just saying, so Adam's just joined us now. And John was just saying that it's probably the best one he experienced since the relegation party. Would you say that's about accurate for you?
Yeah, the relegation party, I was actually in hospitality with my dad. We got given tickets for it. And so I actually, funny thing, I've hardly ever been in hospitality, but when you're in hospitality, I don't really like hospitality for derbies because you don't really get to experience the general kind of fans, but we were next to a Hibs fan for the relegation party because it was hospitality. He proudly told us at the start of the match that he was a Hibs fan.
Did you pay extra so there was a high beer next to you for that?
Well, he was gloating at the start. He was like, oh, I'm a Hibs fan. He was looking forward to this match so much. And then, yeah, he wasn't there at the end of the match for some reason. He left early, which was... my dad was delighted. My dad used to always tell the story that he left, that the Hibs fan cleared off before the ending. But for me, so I think when you're in hospitality, you don't, which I've hardly ever done, you don't quite experience the celebrations. I felt like it was, I mean, you get that Easter Road if you're at the away end, but for a home derby, I would say that's the most I've seen the celebrations for a long, long time. It was just incredible. It went on for 5 minutes practically. You know, it was almost full time by the time everyone stopped.
I mean, I think just the only thing that could really come close to it for me that I can remember is a Rosenberg game. But even then, yeah, it was just absolutely something else for that. It was just, I think, kind of a couple of reasons. Obviously, you're winning. There's a few reasons, right? It's a derby. You're winning at the last minute. That's always going to get a huge reaction, whatever the game is. But it's a fact you're also, we're keeping the win running. Makes us, at the time, 5 points at the top of the table. And also just how late it was, and the fact there's only 3 minutes, which is almost unheard of these days, just getting 3 minutes injury time. And you just knew there was no, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I just felt, as soon as I went in, I knew that the game was won. Like, sometimes I have that slight sense of doubt that, oh, you never know, they'll maybe get a couple of extra minutes. For me, there was just nothing like that. It was just, we've won this.
Yeah, it felt final.
Like, they were terrible the whole game. Like, I didn't think they didn't want to win it anyway, but even after we scored that, I didn't think they were ever going to try and really go for it.
I think you're spot on, Jamie, though. Like, it was a combination of us being top of the league, Tony Bloom, McInnes, and... it just kept the momentum going. So that was, it felt like an absolutely brilliant win. I would also add into the mix, last season we were rubbish in derbies. And I think it was a sense of relief that we actually won a derby again, because how many seasons do we like not win a derby? So I would add that in. I think it was mainly about being top of the league, but it was our first derby win for longer than it should have been. So it felt just, it would have been, again, you know, I keep talking about deflation, but it would have been a bit deflating to have be top of the league and drawing at home at Hibs. So it was nice to finally do it. Because to be honest with you, I think the most recent derbies have been pretty rubbish in quality, including this one. But who cares, you know? I was just, it was absolutely amazing to win it. Just top of the league for another week.
I'd been a wee bit deflated when I got home to watch the derby. I just had a sort of bit of a tough week at work. And I've got I'm looking after a couple of dogs, one of whom's a puppy. And so my head was just a bit like, and obviously there'd been that like, it was Boyle chance, wasn't it? And I was just thinking, here we go, getting close and close to the end. And I had the puppy on my lap when we scored. And I kind of went from naught to 60. I'd sort of accepted this was going to be a crappy nil-niller. And I just about launched the poor dog. Like, she proper gave me a... so yeah, it was, for me, it was that, yeah, like I say, the sort of not to 60 of just being kind of like to like properly happy. And I could see my girlfriend look over at just when Hulk's put that away, she was kind of going, oh Christ, here we go, he's gonna go absolutely atomic.
I didn't see the goal coming, to be honest, either. You know, at that point I thought it was going to end up as a draw. I don't think I was certainly not predicting a late winner. I don't know about you guys. I mean, when you look at our results so far and like the late goals we scored, maybe it was predictable. It just felt like that kind of derby that was going to fade out into a draw.
I think after Shanklin missed that chance he had as well, I kind of thought, I think that's probably it.
I did expect Kurjata though to be the guy that put in the cross if there was going to be a goal. What's I'm joking, cross? By the way. I'm joking. No one laughed, no one challenged it, but no.
I laughed, but I was like a silent one.
Yeah, I was not expecting
that. I remember who was it was warming up with him? It was him and who else came on?
Steinwender. The three of
Yeah.
Forrest,
that was it. I turned around to you, Adam, and I was like, yeah. I think I was like, oh, fucking Kurjata and Forrest, what chance we got?
I mean, in fairness, I would have expected Kurjata to create something more than Forrest, because we don't know what Kurjata is like, and we do know what Forrest is like.
Did Forrest actually touch the ball?
I don't remember, but if he did, he would have ran into the corner, maybe, but I'm not sure.
Did you guys even know that Magnussen came on in that game? I had no idea about that.
I'm sure he did something all right. I remember watching right to the end, and... I'm sure he got like a touch, and I was like, that's a nice enough. Do you know what I mean? Just because I've slated him so often.
I forgot that Chwanner really didn't like Magnussen.
To be fair, it's understandable. That debut against St Mirren was.
Yeah.
I don't think it wasn't all his fault, but it was bad.
Didn't Scott speak positively about him at one point? Scott
he did. Yeah.
He did, yeah.
He was present.
Is he not only like 22 or something? He's not like.
He's
not that like that old, is he, compared to like some of the other players? They might have a bit of time to grow. So
I'm in the camp of we've barely seen him. He's still, I mean, look at what Kurjata did, which that doesn't mean he's going to be amazing, but you know, these guys have barely played. So Kurjata comes on and puts in an amazing cross. Magnussen, obviously, he came on in the 91st minute.
Yeah.
You can't
really. I mean, that cross was beautiful. Jesus.
Best cross since Bislija.
I'm so like going back to Kurjata. I'm so like pleased for him as well, because that must have been easily the biggest game he's ever played in, right? I mean, his last club they've probably got there's like Serie C, is it, or something like that? Something along those lines.
They were in the fourth division. They only got promoted like at the end of the last
right, week. That was it.
He's not even played in the third division, I don't think.
But the crowds there must be like I think the ground had the capacity of like 11,000-12,000, and I can't imagine it's like packed. So that must have, I mean, I appreciate he has come on in games before, but that can't have been like anything he's ever experienced in his life. And then to deliver that cross in that sort of atmosphere is just something else. It was just an absolutely blinding cross that made the goal. And
I don't think he's looked phased at all in any of the games he's played. It's been good. He's not looked nervous.
I do need to also give special mention to that finish by Halke as well. I was just reading up on him. Did you know he started off as a striker?
Yeah, he was like 14, up until he was like 14, 15 or something, right?
Yeah. Because I was like, how the fuck did he manage to finish that as a centre back? But then Alan I sort of read up on him. I was like, ah, fair enough.
Did they not say Alan Kernaghan converted him?
Yes, that's right. That's right, yeah.
He was that week. I remember him at St Johnston. Yeah, when I was a kid.
Can you guys remember the name of the team that Kurjota played for?
Yes, yeah, Bernadette
or something like that.
Yeah. I'm Bernadette. I wrote it down phonetically on our first podcast so I could actually speak it out.
Originally founded in 1923.
Aren't Italian clubs normally like, they go out of business all the time, don't they?
They do. They love going out of business.
Like 500 like formation dates on Wikipedia.
All clubs are basically Rangers over there, effectively.
Yeah.
Also, Halkett, speaking of which...
Sorry, can I just say one thing, right? Just on that point. I just went on Wikipedia, right? That team was formed 1923, then 1994, 2006, 2009, 2013, and 2021.
They're resilient.
That's how many times. So that's what I mean about Italian teams. It's like non-stop. That's six times.
We shall not be killed.
So yeah, that's what every time I've been on a Wikipedia page, almost every team, like if it's not one of the biggest ones, they have like at least three formation dates.
But also, right, so Halkett, there's always talk of Cammy Devlin's contract. You know, that's all buzzing about the media right now. But Halkett's contract, I'm pretty sure, finishes in 2026 as well.
It does, yeah.
So that's someone I would, you know, try and get locked down as soon as possible. Because it's an interesting one with him, because I'm sure all of us at times have been right, just time to let him go, just with all his injuries and everything. I remember saying not that long ago, you know, it's good that he's playing again, but we're never going to have the same Halkett. And now I would say this is the best I've ever seen him. Surely he's warranted a new contract now, where I don't know how the club are going to play it with him, because obviously there are, you know, you can't deny the fact there's going to be injury concerns still there, but even just an extra year or something like that, because there's every possibility he could be the next suitor or something and heads off to Rangers.
Denny.
Okay.
I'd give him a new deal, certainly, yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's your best centre-back. There's just absolutely no... And he's scoring more goals than, you know, £14 million worth of strikers over at Rangers.
It was good to see Milne get a new deal as well.
Yeah, I know. How did that exactly work out? Was it just that he was... It seemed like he had quite a short contract. If he might... Is extended to 2027, is that right?
Yeah, I'm just wondering if maybe they had like an option or something.
Yeah,
like
I think that.
That
must have been it.
But he wouldn't have signed, I guess he didn't sign him on a very long deal originally, a couple of years.
I think it must have been like
a year and a half or something.
Yeah, 18 months with an option, I think it was. So
good to see him get tied down early, but Halkett would be nice to... We've got Devlin out of contract. We've got Devlin, Halkett, Forrest, Benny, Kent, Finlay because of the loan, Gordon, all out of contract.
Who'd you keep out of those and who'd you get rid of?
Nah, Forrest is gone.
Yeah.
I'd Gordon let Kent go, I think.
What, sorry?
I'd probably let Kent go. I've not really been that impressed in the last couple of seasons, and I think if we keep Halkett, he's more important.
I mean, it depends who we get in. To me, he'd be third choice centre back. Who'd you put ahead of him? So obviously Finlay, right? So yeah, we obviously want to get him signed up, right? Yeah. Finlay and Halkett, first choices. I think we can all agree
McCart.
On that, right? Oh yeah, McCart, of course.
You've got Kingsley, who could play left centre back technically as well. Yeah.
Kingsley's had a bit of a resurgence as well, actually, not to the level of Halkett, but
Steinvender as well. I suppose he's played a bit more.
Yeah. I think we need to see how Kent gets on, I would say, over the next few months. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be rushing into giving him a new deal, but I think maybe see how he gets on.
I don't see him playing, though, like at the moment, especially. He's been playing quite well.
Hasn't he?
I know, I mean, like if he came back, though, just now, like I'm not sure where he fits in. Like I don't see him changing it.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I mean, I think Gordon will retire, Forrest will leave. Then you've got, you've also got Benny, and I mean Devlin obviously you want to keep, I assume.
Yeah, obviously.
I don't know if they'll keep Benny and Devlin though. I'm not sure what will happen with that.
That probably again depends on like players like Magnussen, as you like how they perform. You know, if they're playing well, they might say, "Draw up, we can cut the losses with Benny." Obviously, a good player, but is he going to get any better?
I'd be gutted when Benny finally leaves. I'll be really gutted. He's got to be one of my favourites in recent years. You don't get that many guys that play 100 games for Hearts anymore. Regardless of how we're doing, I think I'd be really sad to see him go.
He has also missed probably 100 games as well.
It was the thing. Do you guys see Heart Standard? And there was a bit where Joel Skedd kind of like broke it down. And because it's in a picture, it's basically it's Benny contemplating whether to play the ball out like wide right to McEntee, I think. And I think there's about three lads pointing where to put it. And he ends up. And I just thought, oh fucking hell! At least Cammy's trying to go forward a bit.
I mean, I think with Benny, it's like it's personality and everything. He just, you know, I think I'd be gutted as much just losing him as a character around around team, because he's just got a lot about him. I could see us kind of stepping it up a level, and some of these guys that we like might not be seen as the future as well. So I think you could see Benny like that. Kent maybe. Eventually Devlin will eventually become. He's not going to be first choice forever, is he? Either.
Yeah.
I think you've got to think as well. We're going to be comparing it to, you know, like Celtic and Rangers squads. I mean, obviously Rangers at the moment maybe not so much, but if you look at some of the players, you think would they get in, you know, a good Celtic squad? It's questionable. We might want to get better.
Depends if those guys all are happy to be back up and what kind of salary they're on as well, doesn't it? Because you've got to think these guys might not be first choice in the future. So are they happy to stay? Or are we happy to keep paying them?
Whilst we're talking about Benny and Devlin, just think about them against in the Hibs game. And now, look, don't get me wrong, I think Devlin had a great game and it could see that Benny was trying to get forward, and there was moments of the old Cammy, right, where he just would pass it backwards or pass it sideways, and I'll admit it, I gave him a few pelters his way when doing that, but it just made me think that one of them has to go when Ajoe is like at fitness, because you look, they're both great players, but really you just need someone who offers something a bit different alongside one of them.
Having the option of like being able to switch them around as well, like playing Benny maybe first half and it work. If it doesn't work, you go, okay, we'll bring Cammy on, we'll swap them, you know, play someone next to them. I think it gives us a lot more options. Like, it is, I know what you're saying as well with the sort of sideways passing, but I think the thing that kills it the most is how slow they do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's never just, okay, I'll turn and play it sideways and then they can move it on. It's, I'm going to hold the ball for maybe like 5-10 seconds, think about it, and then play the pass I was going to do in the first place anyway.
Yeah. One thing they can do when you've got Ajoe there as an option is just get the ball, quickly punt it to him, and off he goes or makes that pass. Also just really intrigued as to see how Magnussen fits. I've still not seen enough to know what attacking threat he poses. I remember actually watching the Sunderland game with McEntee when he was playing more sort of central. He actually had quite a good sort of pass on him. Like, he made some decent penetrative passes forward. So again, a couple, you know, when McEntee, if he ever gets a shot at midfield again, then and actually I have to say that game was the first game where I really thought, we do really need Bork Grivink to come back, is for that, you know, that Boyle chance. And I'm not really particularly blaming McEntee for that, because we know fine well that's not really his favourite position. So the sooner we can get Bork Grivink in there, the better, I think, and hopefully we'll be fit for the Killy game. The one thing actually that I noticed about the kickoffs now, where we both, so Devlin in the second half mirrored what Hibs did and just absolutely punted it up in the air. Did you see that?
Yeah. Did anyone see what Halkett said? He did like the Premier Sports interview the other day.
I was about to follow up with that. Incredible. So basically,
I think I know where they got it from, though.
Where are you from? Going?
Well, I saw that video. There was a video posted. It was like, who was it? It was Arne Slot, the Liverpool manager.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, it was something he did when he was playing. And the video was from sort of like a week before the derby. I know it's unlikely that's the main reason why, but it was the exact same kickoff. I wonder if they've like picked it up and thought, oh, that'd be great to like put them on the back foot. And both teams have seen it or something.
Yeah, so just for the people listening that aren't sure what we're on about, basically what happens is in the first half, the Hibs guy basically took a touch, then punted it way up in the sky, and it kind of went over to the corner to try and catch him off guard and basically gain ground with it, I think, is the main idea from it. And then Devlin did exactly the same thing at the start of the second half. I don't know about you, but I just thought it was just shithousery, and I was totally down for it as well, to be honest. But as it turns out, yes, it's just a set piece play, basically, right?
I can't believe how far Devlin kicked it.
I know. Yeah, never knew he had that in his locker, to be honest. But the other thing I want to talk about is like, so just how Hibs played. So I've seen a lot of people, Hibs fans basically saying, oh, well, I don't think much of the Hearts team after that game. And, you know, I have to say, these people are the same people that say form don't matter before a derby match. It's all just about who wants it more. But then obviously when it is a crap match and we do win it because we want it more, they'll sort of comment on the performance. And I just thought, so the way that Hibs played, it was kind of, so we predicted it would kind of be similar to how they played at Celtic, and sure enough, I guess you'd say it was more of a 3-5-2 for the Hearts game and a 5-3-2 for the Celtic game, if we're going to try and get a wee bit sort of technical about it. But same idea. I just thought they played hoofball the whole game, really. Their main attacking threat, I mean, can you imagine, was Boyle, but they just really lumped up field and tried to get Boyle in the end of it. And to be honest, it almost worked a couple of times, but it wasn't the most, you know, they weren't an easy team to play against in that regard. What were your thoughts on their performance and indeed Hart's performance?
When they did get it to Bowie, I thought Houlks had Bowie really in his pocket for the whole game. You know, I think he proper nullified him. So I think a lot of, it was pretty hoofball from Hibs, but a lot of that was down to, well, mainly Halkett, to be honest.
I felt like even with their hoofball, it wasn't like they were even targeting, like aiming for anyone in particular. It was like, just get rid of it. Like, we don't want the ball.
I felt like Hibs kind of set out to stop us playing rather than to sort of go out and particularly put their own sort of mark on the match. And, you know, they'd only won one game in the league this season. So I'm not convinced that they're that confident or they've got that much quality. So I think their game plan was to try and stop us, you know, obviously on our good run. And to an extent, it was working. You know, they could have snuck a win at one point. But I certainly wasn't, I don't think it was a particularly, certainly wasn't an impressive performance for me.
No.
Not that I think we played amazing either, but we've got momentum at the moment, and the number of late goals we're getting, you know, there's lots of signs. You know, teams that do well each season, I think, are the teams that can grind out victories in these kind of matches, and there's lots of really encouraging signs from the way we're kind of snatching wins at the last minute.
Is that like maybe third or fourth injury time goal we've scored?
There was Livingston, Dundee United was late on as well. Obviously, Motherwell, we came back from 3-0 down, wasn't injury time. But that's at least kind of four games, basically, where we've come back we've scored a last-minute goal or we've come back, which is pretty incredible.
It's funny because I was fuming at Celtic managing to get a last-minute winner the other day, and I thought, actually, you know what? We've had our fair share of them as well, so can't complain too much. Also, the other thing I want to mention is Gray's comments after the match. I picked up on something he said, and he said we should just, you know, tidy it up and make sure we see the game out. I think that shows you the difference in. Look, I I can totally understand why he would want to just see the game out and get the draw, whereas we were wanting to go for the win. But it does just show that different mindset, that we really were wanting to get the 3 points out of the game rather than settle for the draw. It did feel, you know, as you said, Adam, it did feel like a game that was likely to peter out. But at the same time, I don't know, I just felt we had players that could change a game. And I just looked at the Hibs bench as well. There was no one there that I thought is a real proper game changer. I know McGrath's obviously a good player and has potential there, but he's came off from a bit of an injury, and I think he's also a bit of a confidence player as well. There's no one I could really see from their bench that would likely change the game for them, to be perfectly honest. The only one that you'd really sort of put in that is Martin Boyle, but just because of his pace and everything, but he's never going to be someone you'd pick off the bench, is it? You know, he's too strong a player to be anything other than a starter for them. And that just goes to show really the strength and depth once again that our squad has over a lot of the other competing teams in the league.
I always think that Junior Hoylett could be a good one, like come off the bench and threaten, but that's probably because my brain stuck about 12, 13 years ago, I think.
How old is he now? I think he must be.
It's about our age, mate.
Oh, is he right? Fair enough. 30, oh, maybe not. Maybe we're closer to Adam's age. 35. Yeah. There you go. Sadly, not close to my age anymore, but I'll take the compliment. Cheers, mate. The other person I want to mention, my new favourite player I've decided, is Shvolov. Did you see him after we scored?
Yes.
Fucking love him.
Yeah, man. So Patlet, yeah. Love the guy. Instant. What was the stat? Is he not the first Hearts keeper to keep 3 clean sheets in a row in his first 3 games or something since the 50s or something?
The last one. Maybe the only ever one was 1955.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's a crazy stat.
I'm not sure if it was the only one. I feel like it might have been, but certainly that was the last one.
Mm.
Which is just unbelievable.
It is.
I can't remember. Did he get a touch on that Boyle chance, or was that a miss?
I think it just went past him.
Yeah.
Aye.
In fairness, it's not like he could have done much about it, to be fair.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things you can still give credit to goalkeeper making themselves big and shutting down the space and everything. So,
I don't remember. Someone posted it saying that Schwallow's like, he kicked the balls away
mm-hmm.
when they were celebrating, so like they couldn't get them back on for like throw-ins and stuff like that. I thought that was brilliant.
Shithousery.
Yeah. And that's also what I love. Just a player who just is able to pick up on moments like that and just, yeah, really do it for the team. He reminds me, right, dare I say it, he reminds me a bit of Artur Boric, like a guy who does saves for the camera, basically, perhaps makes him look more for the highlight reel than he needed to be. Got, obviously, a big personality, loves the team he plays for.
Big vibes.
I just bloody love him.
Yeah.
Easy to like.
We've got a few shithouses in our team, eh? Devlin's good as well.
He's like the archetypal shithouse player.
Did he manage to go the whole game that game booked?
Yeah.
That must be the first time ever he's made it through a derby.
Yeah, definitely.
The only two that got booked for us are McEntee and Beningame.
We need to mention that. That was the worst booking ever.
I know.
I was going to say it was Wilson Brown in 1955 who started off with 3 clean sheets when Tommy Walker was the manager. 2-0 v Raith Rovers, 4-0 East Fife, 4-0 Dundee. Yep. That was obviously, that was in the kind of golden era of Hearts as well, 50s, early 60s. So that would have been when we won the Scottish Cup that year, and we've won a bunch of trophies in the space of a few years. So it was, it's pretty good company to be in.
It's a sign.
It's a sign.
It is a sign, right? I won't tell you what the score was in his fourth game, though.
But, sure, right, okay.
How many goals he conceded in his fourth game or his fifth game?
Okay.
But anyway, that's not a sign. The sign is it's 1955-56 season. That's what we're going for. So we're winning the Scottish Cup.
Fine, I'll take it, you know.
Yeah, I'd be happy with that. I mean, Scottish Cup in second place, maybe. Would you take that now?
Absolutely.
Yep. take your hand off for that.
Yeah, I think it was it wasn't the best question.
Well, I'm trying to think, what's the lowest offer you would take in that case?
Oh, that's a good one. You go first, Jamie.
Just second, surely, is the lowest. I think we have to, second has to be a minimum for us now.
Do you think
a minimum.
Because I was about to say, because you can throw other things in there. So you could say third in the Scottish Cup, for example.
Maybe I've got.
If I just offered you a Scottish Cup right now, and we don't know what position, we don't finish top two or three, what would you say?
If it's top six, I'd probably just take it, to be honest. I mean, I know that's mad, but another cup, if you give me a cup, I'll take fifth.
That'd be a hell of a drop off in league form, though. I'd be like
massively, but
I don't know. I think I'd take the
higher league finish over there.
Yeah,
the cup. Purely because of how bad Rangers are, I think it's the perfect opportunity. Yeah. I think it's more hard, of a marker.
Yeah, it's a hard one because in any normal season you just take a Scottish Cup win.
Yeah,
but I guess we want to progress and we want to build for the future. But yeah, I mean, let's hope we get Scottish Cup and a good league position.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, anyone can get a wee spawny cup run. Look at Aberdeen, right? They were horrendous, but managed to, get a jammy Scottish Cup win out of it. Whereas as you've said, Adam, I want there to be improvements season on season. Would I take third? I don't know. It's a difficult one because I could. If you got, third and say we were within, 3 to 5 points of Rangers, would you take that? Assuming Rangers have, a big comeback, say, Gerrard or whoever comes in and gets wins out of the arse. Would you take that?
I don't know. I just feel like second, if there's ever going to be a time to do it, but now is the best time, and also I just feel like it lays that marker down of we've proven we can do it. If they came back and end up finishing a set ahead of us, then I kind of feel like it's almost like, well, it doesn't matter what we do, if they go on a good run then they've got no hope again.
I mean, I guess we'd all certainly take second now, right? Because I think as much as I'm dreaming at the moment, realistically, I think getting second would be incredible. Because you've got to obviously think Celtic. Well, if we're still in contention, you've got to think Celtic will spend some money. Well, maybe we will as well. That's the thing. But no,
that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking long term. This is a project. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if you sneak a wee cup in there, and you're building and you're building and you're building, you're selling some of the better guys and getting some more good guys in. Do you know what I mean? It's the sort of long term progress that excites me, rather than just thinking about specifically this season.
I think that's what feels different now. In the past, sometimes we've been doing great and it just sort of feels like something that'll last a season or two.
Yeah.
I think this is the first time I've really felt like we're actually building something for the future and it's not all riding on one season. And this season is just about making sure we set the foundations, do as well as we can, but you get the sense it's going to get better and better from here on in.
The other big thing that's happening right now is the Rangers manager situation. Is that going to play in your favour or not? What are people's... usually not too interested in mentioning other teams and what's going on with them, really. But I think this is a big one for us, considering we're having this conversation about potentially getting, second place. It's really early doors, and I appreciate that. But what are people's thoughts on the Rangers situation?
Well, in the completely, it will not happen, but if McInnes walks, we're fucked. We're not getting second, I think. But they're not getting him. No chance.
But here's the thing, right? So, no, I don't think he's going at all. But it just raised that question with me. All our players are up for sale, right? At any given time, they're up for sale. Does Jamestown look at managers the same way?
But Christ. Don't you think that Jamestown might factor in selling to the old firm? Or, I know there's the whole model of selling players on or selling managers or whatever. I would hope that Jamestown also looks at not kind of selling these guys or letting these guys go to Rangers or Celtic. because Scottish football is different for it's different from Brighton being an English football. Brighton are still miles behind the top few. We are trying to get ahead of Rangers and Celtic. I'd like to think Jamestown will be trying to sell players on, but factoring in not selling them to our direct rivals.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So not selling like a Kizzy or something to Celtic for yeah. big money in but the same way that like Caicedo would go for 100 plus million to Chelsea. That
yeah, kind of thing. I feel like it's a different situation because Brighton are not in the league. Brighton is consistent. The levels in England and the money in England is just ridiculous. I think in Brighton, with Brighton, what you're doing is you're building a team that was once a lower league team, turning them into sort of top half kind of team, and maybe in the long run you get them even higher. But that's a very long-term plan if you ever do that at all. In Scotland, Tony Bloom's come in and clearly his plan is we are going to win the league in the next few years.
Yeah.
So I personally think you can't quite compare Brighton selling on to Chelsea to us selling our best players to Rangers and Celtic because we want to finish ahead of Rangers and Celtic. Brighton aren't realistically aiming to finish ahead of all the biggest English teams, at least for now. That's my sense. I'm hoping that's correct. Because we could sell these guys on to other markets in Europe. Look at Penrice moving on. Celtic and Rangers are not the only market, especially nowadays. Celtic and Rangers are not our biggest market. There are lots of clubs that we can get that are going to be interested in our players. So I would be disappointed if I'm not saying it's never going to happen, but I hope we're thinking bigger picture and we're trying not to strengthen the teams that we're trying to finish ahead of.
Look, I'm sure they are because we're not literally, our competitors are not the Saudi state. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's different money. It's a much more achievable goal, I think, for Jamestown to have a project in Scotland, especially with a team that have kind of flirted in this area before back in like, you know, Christ, even the Romanov days. But I think you're right on that one.
I mean, I suppose it'd be interesting to see about what USG did in terms of selling their guys on. Maybe they have done that. I don't know. But I think Scottish football is quite unique in terms of the absolute like massive difference between the top. I know in some European leagues it's similar, but to have just two teams who have been so far ahead of the rest for decades, I think Scottish football is a slightly different situation from most leagues in Europe.
I hope we can sneak in like a sort of Bodo Glimt, you know what I mean? Disrupting and coming out of almost nowhere to just start overachieving.
John, did you want to mention what you put in the chat?
Obviously it's from Barry Anderson earlier on saying that McInnes has reassured the club that he's not going anywhere. So it's a good sign.
Good. I mean, I'm pretty sure it's Gerrard that's going to come in, right?
It'd be an absolutely ridiculous move for McInnes to go. Look at how many managers Rangers are going through. They're a complete mess of a club. I think McInnes has wanted to be manager of Hearts for years. This is a really exciting time to come in. I think going to Rangers is an incredibly difficult move for anyone right now, and I'm not convinced anyone goes in and just makes them challenge for the league. They might make them better, but I don't see anyone coming in and suddenly making Rangers what they were years ago.
Yeah, they're for a sure. mess.
And I think with McInnes, would there even be these conversations about him unless, you know, it's the West Coast media as usual stirring the pot up, isn't it?
I don't think Rangers are even going for him. I think it's all just the media trying to disrupt things because Rangers aren't going to think he's going to come for a start. And it'd be embarrassing for them to make an approach and get rejected. I think it's just the media trying to derail everything as usual.
And I think Gerrard for them is an appointment that the fans want. Obviously he had, you know, a couple of decent seasons, one very good season with them. So for them, it seems, I think from, just if you're looking at it from a Rangers board perspective, it seems a bit of a, you know, a win for them to get an appointment that, because, you know, they have to think that the board's on a shiggly peg over at Rangers now after that appointment. So if you go for one that the fans want, kind of not a million miles away from what the Hearts board did, really. They got someone in that just wasn't the right person at all, although we kind of stuck with Critchley for a bit longer, but then went for one that, you know, there seemed to be quite a lot of fans wanting in the team. So it seems a similar situation to that. I'm not convinced Gerrard's going to, I mean, here's your classic, get this clip saved, Rangers fans. I don't think Gerrard's going to do much with him, to be honest, if he does come. He had, obviously, there's other than that one big season he had with Rangers when we weren't even in the league, and Celtic were shite then, weren't they? Had Lennon, I think it was. Out with that, what he went with, went to Villa, had a pretty dismal season with them, to the point where no one seemed to want him in Britain, so he just had to, was it Saudi Arabia or something he went off to after that?
I don't think he's an improvement on Russell Martin.
Like, yeah.
And he's certainly no McInnes, so they'll probably get a wee bounce, but I think it's a much harder challenge for him at the moment, definitely.
I don't think Gerrard's in the position to say no to them, you know. He's not getting officers flying at him, so a bit of a no-brainer for him as well, to be honest.
Definitely.
So last week would have been Trunter's turn for a quiz. He wasn't here last week, so we've got him doing the quiz this week. The rules, as always, is two players, both former Hearts players, but we need to figure out which team they've also played for out with Hearts.
So I've gone with Larry Kingston and also Abiola Dualda. And as a Nigerian, if you don't get this right, he will think that you are a bunch of Dundee Uniteds. So have a think about the team that they've both played for, and we'll see if anyone gets it. It's not Morton.
Ah. Sorry. Goes my guess. The only club I know Kingston played for as well was Hearts of Oak. I remember
Hearts of Oak.
I remember because it had Hearts in the name. That's the only club I have for either of them other than Hearts.
I know who he signed Dowda from, but I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know any of Kingston's clubs apart from Hearts and now Hearts of Oak. I'm just guessing. We signed him from, I think, Vitesse, Arnhem, Dutch team, I think.
Anything for you, Adam?
He said Hearts of Oak, didn't he?
I'm just saying Hearts of Oak. That's
your guess. Got
you. Let's just take it from now on. If I say a club, that's my guess. So we don't have any more anger management issues.
Got you. Locked in. No worries. Jamie?
Jamie.
The only other team that I know he played for before us, Hearts of Oak's the one I remember as well, but I'm sure he played for Lokomotiv Moscow on loan, I think, before he joined us. So that'd be that's the only one that I could think of.
Okay. Well done, John. Ding, 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 ding.
Oh, well done.
Thank God. Finally, I've actually got one.
You must have been pretty young at that point as well, right?
Well, with Dowda, was it not like 20?
Kingston was, what was it, 2007 for a few years, I think. So I tried to make them a bit more recent than my other one, but no worries, man.
That's a brilliant one. Well done, John.
Excellent. Jeez. Yeah, you got that quickly.
That's because that's literally the only bit of information I had.
Impressive.
It worked. It was an educated guess, John.
I'll take it.
Do you want me to do that goalie thing, by the way, or is it going to be
too much? I didn't even think about So
there's 26 goalies have played for us this century. So they might have started for us before this century, but their last game at least was 2000 onwards. So obviously that includes current goalies, it includes anyone that's played for us in the last 25 years. So the rules would be Trunter goes first. We go Trunter, Jamie, John, for example. You each say one. Once someone doesn't get one, you're out. And then it goes down to two people. And then once we're down to one person, they continue until they're out. And we see how many you guys can get between you.
I mean, I was going to start off with Henry Smith. So I'm way off. I'll just start with Craig Gordon and get the ball rolling.
Yeah. By the way, the reason I thought of this was because I was looking up, after I found that stat about the Shock Swallow being the first guy to get three clean sheets in a row since Wilson Brown, I started looking up our goalies. Anyway,
Do they have to have played at least one game, did you say?
They have to have played at least one competitive game.
Okay.
And it includes current goalies, right?
Fine. Okay, I will say Shvolov then.
Correct.
Thunderglack.
Yes. This is the least exciting part. It gets better.
Does Jamie McDonald the goalkeeping coach for the B team or something? Have I got that wrong?
He is the goalkeeping coach for the B team.
Okay, we'll just go with him.
But you're going for him on the basis of him having played for us this century, right?
Yeah.
Not on the fact that he's a B team coach.
No, on the fact that he's played for us, but it just dawned on me when I was thinking.
He is the B team coach now, yeah. He made 137. Actually, he's got the third most appearances this century for a goalie.
Good lad.
I shall go for Cheesy, a.k.a. Ross Stewart.
Yes. Nine appearances.
I'm going to go for Papadon Riss. Joe Pereira.
I was going to go with Joe Pereira. I don't know why. I thought you guys wouldn't get him.
Well, horrified to say he played 25 times for us.
How many did he concede?
I don't have that on me, but I can try and find out while you're guessing, because I feel like that could be quite a few, but horrible, horrible memories. The hologram.
He has so many nicknames. Has there ever been a player, particularly goalkeeper, who's had as many nicknames as him? All horrible as well.
Does he still play?
Yeah, he plays in Leicester. He's young.
He didn't quite well now. I'm sure he's like got awards and stuff. Like he's like in.
He's finally made it.
Yeah.
Reading. He's played tons of times for Reading in the Championship or League One. Sorry, but still.
Right. Well, fucking. They can never ever say we're the. My fucking granny could play in that league. Anyway, Trunner, it's you.
Fuck. Oh, John McLaughlin.
Yes, good goalie.
Very
36
goalie.
Appearances.
I will also.
I thought it was more.
He only played for us for one season, actually.
Mm. So he did. He did.
I think he had a one-year deal. Ended up at Rangers at one point, or Sunderland first, I think. But anyway.
I shall go for another very good goalkeeper, Neil Alexander.
Yeah, 73 appearances. Seventh on the list in terms of appearances, behind Xander Clark.
Go for Kello.
Yeah, I really liked him, actually. 86 appearances, fifth on the list. Really good goalie. Hunter, back to you again.
I'm not finished yet, because Antti Niemi was definitely into the 2000s, wasn't he?
Yes. He actually made his debut in December 99. And then played till 2002, 106 appearances.
I thought he might be right at the end of the 90s. I wasn't sure.
No, he just started in December 99, so most of his career was actually this century, almost all of it. Good decent. One. I've got quite a lot to go.
Moilanen.
Yes, not quite so good. 26 appearances, not the greatest goalie, but. Better than Pereira.
It's a low bar, we'll admit.
Yeah. Everyone on the list is probably better than
Pereira. Literally. Yeah.
I'm better than Pereira.
Yeah. My fucking granny's better than him.
John?
I'm going to go for one of my favourites, Bobby Zamal.
Yes, 53 appearances.
Wouldn't remember him.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
He was one that started off quite well and kind of. I thought he started off looking decent, but he wasn't the greatest.
A bit erratic.
Should they have been writing these down? Have we said Jack Hamilton yet?
No, we haven't. Jack Hamilton's amazingly 63 appearances, eighth on the list. I wasn't expecting him to be so high up.
Oh, he was a Championship goalkeeper, was he not?
2014 to 2018, he played. That's what his competitive games were.
Bloody hell.
the goalkeeper who died earlier this year, Anthony Basso.
Yeah, 8 appearances. That was really sad what happened.
It was,
him.
Yeah. Are you chapping, John? Are you?
Oh, it's just I didn't want to. I don't want to just start talking. Ryan Fulton.
What, sorry? Ryan
Fulton.
Yes, of course. One of our current goalies. 5 appearances only, though, but still counts, of course.
Oh yeah.
Good one, actually.
Didn't we already see him?
It's quite good. It's quite easy to forget him. We've got that many goalies.
Oh fuck. Have we said Steve Banks yet?
No, we haven't.
Oh, good
42
choice.
Appearances. I liked him.
Yes, I did.
He was a bit older, was he not?
Yeah, he was definitely, and he was quite old when he got to us, actually, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Mid-30s, maybe, or something?
Must have been.
Mr. Mines of Moria himself, Janos Balrog.
Yeah. 42 appearances, yeah. 2008 to 2011.
Colin Doyle. Not sure he played competitive, but he was our backup keeper.
Yeah, 13 appearances, amazingly. That's a really good one. I'm not sure I'd have remembered him, to be honest with you. Mm. I mean, I remember him now, but I don't know if I would have thought of him. Frontier.
I'm totally drawing a blank, so I'm going
to... We've got 8 left only. And all right, so 6 of them, there's 6 of them with less than 5 appearances. There's 2 of them with much more.
If there's literally only one more I could possibly think of, and I think it's wrong, but I'm gonna, I'm trying to remember when Gilles Rousset retired or left us. Did he make it to the century?
His last appearance was in 2000. So you get it. Yep, second on the list.
Fucking hell.
He's second on the list. He's second on the list only in terms of overall appearances, obviously. But yes, made it until 1st of April 2000. So very good guess.
That is jammy. I'm just got the puppies going mad. I'll be right back.
Jamie.
Did we see?
Only 7 left.
Yeah, did we see Lamal? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I'm chapping. I think I'm out, I'm afraid.
I've only got one more left, and I don't know if I've. I just remember the name, but I don't know the full name or anything, but was it like Balo?
Is that who I said? I think.
Yeah, Janos Balog. He's already said. So I'll let you guess again. That's something said already.
I don't know if I've got anyone at saying.
We'll give you a second, and if you can't think of anyone, Trunter can have one more guess if you can find anyone, and then I'll give you a clue for the last one. So there's not many left at all.
No, I think
we've only got 7 left.
I'm quitting.
Because Trunter's actually got the most anyway.
Does he?
Started first.
Yeah.
He started first, so Rousset puts him in the lead.
Man, I was so close to seeing Rousset as well, but...
I was so chuffed.
Trunter, Jamie and John are both out. Have you got any more that you can think of? You've got the most anyway, but can you get any more?
I've literally nothing. No
You've
idea.
Got 7 left. I'll give you a clue. Not just for you, for everyone. Now we'll say Trunter is 1 with Rousset. Good way to win.
Mm-hmm.
You've got one guy who played 54 times.
Shit.
From 1997 to 2003. He was a backup and then he had a bit of a run in the team. So he was kind of playing Rousset's era. And then also like Niemi came in as well, and he was sort of backup. I think he played first choice for a bit. Scottish guy.
Can we have a first name or someone?
Probably been younger when he's at us. RM. That's the initials.
Ronald McDonald.
What?
Ronald McDonald.
No. Roddy McKenzie.
Roddy McKenzie. Since you said Ron McDonald, I thought, what the hell, actually kind of...
Yeah, he was kind of mainly a backup, but he did get runs in the team.
Yeah.
And then, one that I thought you guys might have got...
Yeah.
In Romanov era, he played December 2007 to January 2008, only 4 times. when we're talking about Pereira, he's probably up there in that discussion for most fans. Romanov era made some mistakes when we played four times.
Enkelman?
No, but that is one. Peter Enkelman, yeah. He played once.
In the century? Oh, of course it's the century. Is that... Has no one said that?
Lithuanian goalie? Sorry, what are you saying?
I was just saying Peter Enkelman played competitively for us this century.
Yeah, Enkelman played once, 2012.
Bloody hell.
Lithuanian goalie?
I can't remember any Lithuanian guys.
Kurskis.
Yes, Edvardas Kurskis. Yeah. That's the only one. That's one I thought you might get because he's a bit more. He gets mentioned in the discussions.
Yeah.
Then we have a Swedish goalie. 26. He played in 2017 for us. Played three times.
Oh, what's Norrison or something? Is it man?
Norring, yeah.
Norring, yeah, right enough.
And now we're really getting to tough ones. Four appearances, Scottish goalie. He was at us as a youngster, played competitively 2012 to 2014. He played four times. Had a career in Scotland. We signed him from Ross County, moved on to St Mirren. He played for Orlando City, Partick Thistle. He's Inverness, he was at for 7 years until 2024. He's from the Highlands, he's from Inverness. So, would he have been sub-goalie in the 5-1 game, maybe? MR?
Oh, Mark Bridges.
Yes, I think he would have been sub, right? 2012?
Probably.
I think I remember him being on the bench. I know, it's getting really difficult. Another Scottish goalie, 2014 to 2015, SG.
Scott Gallagher.
Yes, I'm just giving initials now.
Well played.
And then the hardest one for me, this one's definitely the hardest. Played three times in 2014. So he was at Airdrie, then Motherwell, then he signed for us, and he went to like a junior team after that. I don't know if he really had much of a career after us. Really random signing. So he was only at us from 15th of August until 1st of September on a short-term deal. I think we got brought in as cover or something because someone was injured or whatever. LH.
I'm not going to get to anything.
This is the hardest one on the list in my opinion. LH.
Lenny Henry?
Lenny Henry, yeah.
That would have been quite something.
It would have provided some comic relief, I'm sure.
Lee Hollis, remember the name?
Lee Hollis?
Jesus, no.
Is never it, heard this of feels him. Like, you know, like in Sensible Soccer when you get like the fake names. This is like shotguns.
Well, he was at us for a couple of weeks. Let me check. He played against Livingston in the Petrofac Training Cup. And then he played against Stenhouse Muir, or maybe he only played twice, actually. I'm not sure. But yeah, he played against Stenhouse. He played 2 week cup. Oh, no, that would be the Challenge Cup, wouldn't it? The Petrofac Cup. Was that Challenge Cup? So he played in the Challenge Cup in a 4-1 defeat to Livingston, and he played away to Stenhouse Muir. He never played at Tynecastle, so I am not surprised you did not get him, but he only played, it looks like he actually only played twice, and he was on the bench. He was on the bench for a derby in the Championship, funnily enough. But yes, not the most memorable, and only at us for a couple of weeks. I think you guys did well, though. McKenzie was the only one that you might have got, but that was a different era for John, and also he was kind of a backup player. He was more of a kind of Jack Hamilton kind of...
Yeah, I definitely remember him, but just wasn't jumping.
I thought he was better than Jack Hamilton, actually. I think he actually had an okay career, maybe, like at Livingston or something. But yeah, that's all the goalies.
Good quiz.
Yeah.
Good quiz.
Funnily, it's actually really interesting when you see how many we've had this century and then you look at like how few we had before that. Like, it used to be barely any goalies would play.
Yeah.
And now it's so many of them actually make an appearance.
I have to say, like, generally speaking, we've actually... You've had the occasional play, you know, you've had your occasional Pereira. I think we've done all right for goalkeepers over the years.
Yeah.
Yes. By the way, just Enkelman played once as a sub. There you go. Came on after 14 minutes for Jamie McDonald in a 1-0 defeat against Celtic. But I do agree. I think we've had a lot of really good goalies. Obviously, there's been eras when we had slightly weaker guys filling in, like Jack Hamilton. But you look at some of the guys, some of the top cup players, and I think we've done pretty well, haven't we?
Yeah, we have done.
Gordon, Roussin, McDonald, Niemi, Kell. Clark was decent when he came in. Alexander, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just Henry Smith guys. Was legend when I was growing up as well. So he would have been.
Yeah.
What, mid-90s he sort of stopped playing for Hearts, I think?
1995, his last game. But he stayed at us, I think, until 96 and he left.
Do you think Xander Clark's played his last game for us?
Fucking probably. I don't know, because who knows what's going to happen with Craig, but you think keep him... Wait, because he won't... I wouldn't think he'd want to stay as number two. Because I think it was probably a few years in Schvalo.
Yeah.
And Craig Gordon's on the bench again now.
Yeah, but will he, I mean, you know, after the season, will Craig Gordon still be here? I doubt it.
I think he's going to retire for certain in the summer, right? I think
he's still getting picked for the Scotland squad, though.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, and no Shanks in it.
We've got so few options and goals and for Scotland, it's absolutely crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, true.
The lack of goalies. But yeah, I think. I'm not sure if we'll see Clark again unless it's like a cup game against a lower league team or something.
Yeah.
Even then, random
international thought, but do you think Kizzy's good enough to play for Greece?
Greece have got some pretty decent players now.
They've not got better again because they were rubbish for a while.
Yeah.
But I don't want them getting too much attention. That's my thing. I don't want them getting player of the month. I don't want them getting called up. I want them to go under the radar for as long as possible until... nets us a few million.
Fair.
I don't think I can't see him getting called up. I mean, not anytime soon, but it's not impossible, is it? He's only mid-20s.
Yeah, what, 25, something like that? But Greece have got that absolutely amazing, the young fella, what was he, about 16, that caused Gretzis. Scotland a lot of trouble. Yeah, that's the fella.
Yeah, what position does he play, actually? He's attacking midfield. Oh, he's left attacking midfield, so... he might have some competition in that regard, yeah.
Just a bit.
Right, so we're not going to do a preview of the Kilmarnock game this week. We're going to look ahead to the Kilmarnock game next week, in the next episode. We're going to hopefully get on... a guest who is a Kilmarnock fan, so you can preview the game with them. This feels like a proper huge game as well. Nothing close to Derby, but I mean, this feels. What's everyone's thoughts ahead of this one?
I don't know. I should feel more. I don't know. I was saying I'm always optimistic, but I think because we're doing so well now, I'm just waiting for the inevitable kind of like reality to slap me in the face. But
yeah,
I don't know. I think I am quite confident about it, if I really think about it. I'm not going to start throwing out 3-0 predictions or anything again. But
we'll do that when we get the Killy fan on and see if we can properly rile them up. But it's one that's kind of got drama attached to it as well. You know, you've got McInnes coming back. Yes. He didn't come to... He wasn't at Rugby Park last time, was he? When he was technically in charge or whatever it was. So there's that added drama as well. And I have to say, Kettlewell's doing a pretty decent job there as well. So, yeah, it's going to be a close one. We'll properly dive into it next week. Until then, we hope you have a nice weekend, a weekend away from Hearts. So enjoy it. Take some time to relax and just stare at the league table as we sit 2 points ahead and in first place. We'll see you next week for the Kilmarnock preview. Cheers.